Okay, so as you will have all detected yesterday, it's rather a complicated sugya, very geschmacka sugya actually. But if you get each stage clear of the Gemara line by line, then it's actually straightforward. So let's just very briefly summarize where we're up to in the story. Rav was mechadesh that a shlishi berishain is posel eidos. That was Rav's chiddush, your great uncle. Your great uncle. So he said that I cannot testify against my uncle, neither can my children. So Rav is the one who's mechadesh that a shlishi berishain cannot give eidos. Now, if you remember, we said, however, a shlishi b'sheni can give eidos. So although you cannot give eidos about your great uncle, but you can give eidos about your great uncle's children, in other words, your parents' first cousin. And if you remember, we explained yesterday, even though you might think that that should be worse, because there's only one generation away, not two, but we explained, no, actually that's considered further. Because as each generation goes down, the children is like a pyramid, it gets wider and wider. So you're closer related to your great uncle than you are to his children. Yesterday, we saw the Gemara. The Gemara was on the lookout. What is the Makor? Where did Rav get this from? Where is this backed up? So we thought it was in the Mishnah. We fell away from that. Eventually, we found Rabbi Loza. The bottom line is we found a source. We found a source in Rabbi Loza. So we're up to on the second wide line because we have a little bit of unfinished business. And what is that? Even though it's true that Baruch Hashem, we have managed to find a source from the Tanoim to the Chiddush of Rav, i.e., Rabbi Loza. But obviously, the big $64 million question is that's all very nice. But at the end of the day, we still have to ask the question, what's the Makor in the Psukim? Yes, we can find another Tana who seems to hold the same, but what is the Torah source? All the Psulim that we have learned so far have all been derived from the Psukim. So have a look. We're towards the end of the second wide line, my timer. My timer, the Rav. We're not asking where did Rav find an opinion like his that we've discovered. The question is, what is the source? My timer, what is the reasoning? The Omar Kro, it's unbelievable. Another drosha from this same Pasuk. Because it says in the Pasuk, Loi Yumsu Ovois Albonim. And then it carries on, Ubonim Lo Yumsu Al Ovois. Says the Gemara, Ubonim, quote unquote, Lerabois Doir Acher. Ubonim. Why does it have to say Ubonim? It could have said Lo Yumsu Ovis Al Bonim, Lo Yumsu Bonim Al Ovis. Ubonim is an extra vav. It's an extra vav. So the extra vav comes to teach me the Doir Acher, the extra generation. Not only a Sheni Berishin, but also a Shlishi Berishin. That, Rabbeisai, is the end of the sugya. So therefore, in the final analysis, Rav Paskins, and if you remember we saw yesterday in Tosfos says, this is Halacha Ulamaisa. We Paskin, Halacha Ulamaisa, that a Shlishi Berishin is Posel Eidos, but a Shlishi B'Sheni is Kosher. Remember, Tosfos brought a Gemara that said that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot testify about Pinchas. Pinchas is his great nephew. Pinchas ben Elozo ben Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is Moshe Rabbeinu's brother. So Moshe's brother's grandson, Moshe Rabbeinu, is posel eidos. That's a shlishi berishon. And that is the halacha ulamaisa. So we have now found not only a source from the Mishnah, but more importantly, we found a source from the psukim, that extra vav. And that teaches us that even the next generation is asa. Now, Rabbeisai, we continue with the next sugya. Now, even though it's a new sugya, obviously it's all a continuation because we're still carrying on the theme of the various different relatives. Omar Rav Nachman. Achi Chamoisi, the brother of my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's brother, who we would call my wife's uncle. My wife's uncle is my wife's mother's brother. That's my mother-in-law's brother. Omar Rav Nachman, Achi Chamoisi, Loi Yoid Li. The brother of my mother-in-law cannot testify against me. That's considered a relative. Not just the mother-in-law herself, but even the mother-in-law's brother, my wife's uncle. One halacha. Next case, Ben Achi Chamoisi. Not only my mother-in-law's brother, but also that mother-in-law's brother's son. In other words, my wife's first cousin. Ben Achi Chamoisi, the son of the brother of my mother-in-law. So again, it sounds very complicated. It's not complicated at all. My wife's first cousin. Also, lo yoid li. Ben achois chamois. So too, the son of my mother-in-law's sister. Also, lo yoid li. That's also my wife's first cousin. Either my wife's first cousin, her mother's brother's children, or mother's sister's children. It's all the same thing. So therefore, basically, I'm possible either to my mother-in-law, her siblings, the siblings' children, my wife's first cousins, they're all posselavers. Fine. Says the Gemara, V'tona. Ah, one second. Sorry, excuse me. Did I miss that a line in the Gemara?
Yes, yes. Rabbi Elazar.
Ah, excuse me. I'm sorry, apologies. Okay, I apologize. I totally missed that line. Yeah, thank you for pointing it out. Okay, excuse me, apologies. Go back a line. In fact, go back two lines again. Sorry, apologies, my mistake. My timer, the Rav. Why did Rav say that a shlishi berishain is possible? What's the source? The omakro, loy yumsu avos albonim ubonim. That extra word, ubonim, lerabois doir acher. Now, if you remember, we quoted Shittas Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds that indeed a shlishi berishain is possible. But if you remember, we saw yesterday, he said, so too a shlishi b'sheni is also possible. That Rav disagreed with. Remember, if we said yesterday that Rav agrees with one chiddush of Rabbi Elazar and disagrees with the other chiddush. What is it that he agrees with? The shlishi berishain. What is it that he disagrees with? The shlishi b'sheni. So now, Rav has pointed to the pasuk of Ubonim that teaches him a shlishi berishain. So what about Rabbi Elazar? Says the Gemara of Rabbi Elazar, Al Bonim Omer Achmona. So Rabbi Elazar is learning from the prophet, the drosha, Al Bonim. It says in the Torah, the words Al Bonim, Psule de Ovois, Shodi Abonim. All the psulim of your father, you place on the children as well. So whoever is possible to testify about the father is possible to testify about the children. So if I cannot testify against my great uncle, then by definition, I cannot testify about his children either. That's how he learns the pasuk. So just like you cannot testify about your great uncle, he's a shlishi berishon, so too his children as well. Look at Rashi. On the fourth bottom line. Rabbi Elazar, Karav, Sfirilei. Rabbi Elazar, on the one hand, holds like Rav. the Vav Larabois Asa. But that extra word Vav Ubonim is coming to be Marabe something. Larabois, what is it teaching you? Vadarish Albonim. He dashes the words, quote unquote, Albonim Lameima to tell us. The Kol de Psule Laovois, comma. Anybody who is possible to testify against the father, necessarily possible upon him as well. Hilkoch, therefore, kihechi just like the gimel berishon possible, a shlishi berishon is possible, so too shlishi besheni nami possible. Because that's Rav Loza's drasha from the words albonim. Everybody for whom you're possible to testify about, so too albonim, so too their children as well. So if we all agree that you cannot testify against your great uncle, says Rav Loza, it must be also your great uncle's children. They are the shlishi, the sheni. Okay. Fine. Sorry for that, missed out line. Then Rav Nachman said, you cannot testify against your mother-in-law's brother, or your mother-in-law's brother's children, or your mother-in-law's sister's children, in other words, your wife's uncle or your wife's first cousin. Simple as that. Says the Gemara, we're on the fourth or last line. V'tana tuna, we have learned in a braisa. Baal achoisoi, the husband of my sister, in other words, my brother-in-law, uba'al achois oviv, so to the husband of my father's sister, in other words, my uncle, not by blood relative, but by marriage, he's married my father's sister, uba'al achois imoi, and so to the sister of my mother, her husband. In other words, all my uncles, paternal, maternal, blood relatives, married relatives, all my uncles apostle, hein ubenehem v'chasnehem. Them, their children, and their sons-in-law. That's another way of saying all of my first cousins. Or my first cousins-in-law, same possible. Says the Gemara, Omar Ravashi, ki hevinon be'ula. When I was by Ula, Iboyalon, he asked the following question. Achi chomiv mahu. What about the brother of my father-in-law? We have not discussed this yet. We've discussed siblings of my mother-in-law. That was Rav Nachman's Chiddush. It was not a Mishnah. So Ula was posing the question, what about my father-in-law's brother? In other words, my wife's uncle. That was one Sofik. So too, Ben Achi Chomov. Not only am I debating the brother of my father-in-law, so too the children, the son of my father-in-law's brother, in other words, my wife's first cousin, Mahu, or Ben Achois Chom of Mahu, either the brother of my father-in-law or the sister of my father-in-law. In other words, my wife's uncles and my wife's cousins, am I possible for them? Am I possible Eidus? Says the Gemara, that was Ula's Shaila. Again, what's Ula discussing? He's posing the shaila, what's the halacha of my father-in-law's brother and children, or my father-in-law's sister and children? In other words, my wife's uncle, my wife's cousins. That was Ula's shaila. So he answered back, Omar long. So he said to us, Tani suha, we have learned it. It's Mufurush. It's absolutely explicit. Where is it explicit? Because we learned in the Mishnah, Ochiv, Va'achi Ochiv, Va'achi Imoi, Hein Ubnehem V'chasonehem. So what does it say? You cannot testify against your brother, your father's brother, your mother's brother, their children, or their sons-in-law. Who is the son-in-law of your father's sibling? That's the exact shaila that we were just clearing a second ago. That son-in-law to your uncle, he's the son-in-law, and it's telling you that you cannot testify against him. So you see quite clearly that your father-in-law, this is a son-in-law-father-in-law relationship. Again, what's it saying? You cannot testify against your brother or your father's siblings, their children, and their children-in-law. Well, my father's sibling, that's my uncle, his children-in-law, his son-in-law to my uncle is son-in-law, father-in-law. So what's it saying? It's saying that the son-in-law cannot testify about the father-in-law's relations. That's me. Well, that is Ula's Shaila. So for Ula's Safek is actually explicit in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, right at the end of the page now. Rav Ikla, Rav found himself Lemizban buying Gevili. What's Gevili? Gvil is cloth, parchment. Rashi says the top Rashi, cloth and parchment. So he found himself in the parchment shop and they asked him the following question. Bo'u mine, they asked him, Ma'u sheyo'id odom. Can a person testify, now listen carefully, Be'eshes chorgoy. Be'eshes chorgoy. What's a chorgoy? We've already said a stepson. Not an adopted son, a stepson. So if somebody marries a woman with children, that child is your stepson. That was a mafurish mishnah that you cannot testify against your stepson, although the Mishnah did say levadoi, not the stepson's children. But what we have not discussed is, what about the stepson's wife? And that's his shayla. Ma'u sheyo'id odom be'eshes chorgoi. Now have a look at Rashi. Top line. Be'eshes chorgoi, the wife of your stepson. Al nichse milug shelo. What's nichse milug? A woman gets married and she may well own property before she got married. When she marries, she brings that nechosim, those assets, into the marriage. There are two types of assets. Not going to get involved in that now. Nichse milug, nichse tzoyim barazel. We're not going to get involved in that now. But nichse milug means the assets that she brings into the marriage. And there's a whole discussion who now owns it. Once she now marries, does it become property of the husband? What about the land? What about the fruit? It's a whole discussion. That's not our discussion today. Now, Rashi has to add the following line. What is it exactly that you're trying to testify? The wife of your son-in-law apparently is in Beis Din. And she summons you as a witness. Now, one second. Who is she battling with? If the din Torah that she's having is with her husband, well, obviously you can't testify because you're not allowed to testify in anything to do with your stepson. So that's why Rashi adds the following words: Bahashpata im Odom min hashuk. It's a judgment with a guy off the street. She's not having a din Torah with her husband. Her husband and her are on very good terms. Rather, there is a judgment. She claims that she has brought an asset into the marriage. There is some guy off the street who claims that, no, it doesn't belong to her, it belongs to him. So this is not an argument between the wife and her husband, but rather between the wife and some fellow off the street. Ah, that's now the Shaila. Can the father, the stepfather, testify in a case, either for or against, make a difference for the moment? Can he testify in this case of his stepson's wife? Who is she having a din Torah with, says Rashi? Odom min hashuk, somebody from the street. Now, look at the rest of Rashi, very important Rashi. Says Rashi, v'nashei shar kroivim, the wives of all other relatives, loy iboye lehu. We never had a question about other relatives' wife. We've only discussed for the first time, we're having a shayla about your stepson's wife. What about all the other psulim, your uncle and your son-in-law and your brother-in-law? Why didn't we say, and what about their wife? We've always assumed until now that if you're possible to give edus about your uncle, for example, obviously means him and his wife. Or your cousin, him and his wife. Or your great uncle and his wife. Your great nephew and his wife. So why all of a sudden are we discussing what about the stepson? What about his wife? If I've got a discussion about the wife of my stepson, why did I not have a discussion about the wife of any relative? Says Rashi, no. Ubanashei shar kroivim, the wife of other relatives, loy iboy elahu, that we're not discussing. Why? De kiven de benehem psulim loy vuhulohem, because all of the relatives that are posel, we said it always means the children as well. Therefore, posel af lenoshim. Therefore, by definition, it must be your posel to testify against the wife. Lefisha habonim ru'uyin liroish es imam, because the children are inheritors of the mother. So in other words, let's take a case, for example, your nephew. Your nephew. You cannot testify against your nephew. So if I would ask, and what about your nephew's wife? In other words, your niece. Says Rashi, that's a non-question. That's obvious it's possible. Do you know why? I'll tell you. Because your nephew, you cannot testify against. And so too, you cannot testify against his children either. That we've already established. Those children are inheritors of their mother. They can inherit the father if he passes away. They can inherit the mother if she passes away. So therefore, once I'm disqualified from giving edus about my nephew, so too my nephew's children, then by definition, I must also be posel from giving testimony about my nephew's wife. Why? Because, well, if my great nephew is an inheritor of my niece, and I'm posel to give testimony against my great nephew, so clearly there is considered a kirva, I have some vested interest. Well, therefore, I cannot now testify about anybody who's going to infect the inheritance of my great-nephew.
Rabbi, why is this even relevant unless we're talking about the earlier Mishnah where we were, based on inheritance? here, what isn't it good enough to say the wife is the same as the husband? Why do I have to bring the children and inheritance into the picture?
Because we're going to see, is that necessarily true, that there's a general principle, wife like husband? Is that a general rule? Is there isha kaba'alo? Is there a general rule, the wife is always the same as the husband? So for the moment, the Gemara says, even if not, but if I cannot testify against my great nephew, for example, then clearly I cannot testify against his mother either, because of a vested interest. Because my great nephew is the inheritor of my niece. What's the only exception, says Rashi? Avol chorgoid b'noi kasha. In the case of chorgoi, the Mishnah added that word, remember, levadoi. You are allowed to testify against your stepson's children. Ah, so if I'm allowed to testify against my stepson's children, maybe so too against their mother, i.e. my stepson's wife. Says Rashi, that's why mi boy alone be ishtoi. That's why I'm discussing about my stepson's wife. Were I to be possible to testify against their children, obviously against the mother as well. But in the case of the stepson, you're allowed to testify against the children. So maybe also against the mother, in other words, my stepson's wife. So have a look at the...
Why are we allowed to testify? No, we are allowed to testify against our stepson's children because of levado.
So therefore, okay, maybe against their mother as well, even though they're inheritors. But I'm allowed to, apparently, I've got no connection, as it were, to my stepson's children. So I've got no invested interest to try and get the money or not get the money or testify for or against their mother. I've got no vested interest, apparently, because I'm not considered a korev to them.
So just thinking of the pyramid that the Rav keeps describing, so the children are below the wife. So why would I learn from the children something higher on the pyramid? Why would I think that the wife would fall in that category?
Because here it's not a question of further or closer. If I cannot testify, for example, against my great nephew, that means clearly you're considering to be a korev. So therefore, I cannot be involved in any testimony that might work for or against him, i.e. about his mother. Not that I'm considered a relative of his mother. But if I testify, for example, against the mother or for the mother, and I say, yes, 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 she owns $1 million property. Ah, maybe I'm just saying that because I want her children to inherit it. And I'm puzzled to testify against those children. So you see that I have a kirva. So look at the Gemara again, top line. Boy mine mahu sheyoid odom be'eshes chorgoi. Can a person testify against the wife of his stepson? So basura omru, this is the rule you said before, ba'al ke'ishtoi. The pompadisa omri, isha kabaila. Yes, whenever somebody is possible, as a rule, it always disqualifies the wife as well. And if the wife is possible, then as a rule, it disqualifies the husband as well. Husband and wife are considered like one, says Rashi. Ba'al ke'ishtoi, ve'isho ke'bailo. Husband is like wife is like husband. Vaharehu ke'ilu chomeho. So you're considered like her father-in-law. Why can you not testify against your stepson? Your stepson is not really a relative of yours, but you're considered as if to be his father-in-law. Well, therefore, so too, to your stepson's wife, it's like you're her father-in-law as well. The Tanan, and we've said, Mufurush and the Misha, that Chomov is posel korevu. A father-in-law is definitely considered posel. So I'm considered as if, we have to stress that, it's as if. Of course, I'm not a real father-in-law of my wife's children. I'm actually not related whatsoever to my wife's children at all. But in as much as we consider your wife's stepchildren to be related as if you were their father-in-law, then once we have the husband-like wife rule, Isha Kabaila, then by definition, to your stepson's wife as well. Says the Gemara in conclusion, how do we know this? The Omar Avun Omarav, Minayin Sheho Isha Kabaila. How indeed do I know that we always consider the wife like the husband, and whatever the rule that pertains to the husband, by definition, pertains to the wife? Diksev, because we have a pasuk. Now, this pasuk is nothing to do with Eidos. This is the pasuk of Gilui Arayos, and it says there, Ervas achi avicha, lo segale. You cannot have relations with the brother of your father. That means your uncle, i.e., El Ishtoi Loisakarev, do not become close to his wife. So your father's brother's wife. And the Torah adds, Doidoschohi, because she is your aunt. That's the pasuk. So do not have relations with your father's brother's wife. Again, it's nothing to do with Eidos, this is Aroyes, because Doidoscho, she is your aunt. Says the Gemara, Vahaloi Eishes Doidoi Hi? Question mark. Why does the Torah say that she's your aunt? She's not your aunt. Your aunt really is your father's sister. And here we're not talking about your father's sister, we're talking about your father's brother's wife. So why is the Torah calling her your aunt? So I see from over here, Michalal, I learned from over here, the Isha Kabaila. Therefore, if it's your uncle's wife, she's considered your aunt. This is the source of Isha Kabaila. And that's why the Torah can call your father's brother's wife your aunt, even though technically she's not your aunt. In other words, she's not your blood relation. Your real aunt is your father's sister or your mother's sister. She's a proper blood relative. But your father's brother's wife is actually no blood relative of yours whatsoever. So why is the Torah calling her your aunt? So you see from over here, the Isha Kabaila, if she's married to your uncle, then by definition, she's considered your aunt. So too, therefore, we can copy and paste from the parasha of Arayos to the parasha of Eidos. Wherever somebody is posel le'edus, by definition, that incorporates the wife as well. Why? Two-word rule. Isha Kabaila. Isha Kabaila. Okay, very, very geshmaka Gemara. Miss Hashem, Tuesday morning tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem Yisvorach, will resume.